Okay, we have the fighting few here tonight. But I always think of the Gideon story where the Lord just kept taking them people out of the ranks until he got down to the size he wanted. Okay. I don't know if there are any hymns for between Christmas and New Year's. Are there any hymns between Christmas and New Year's? Huh? You have what? He touched me? But that's year round. What we got? We got Christmas. Yeah, there you like. His pardon. His pardon. Yeah, well, let's see. He is born, and they're waiting for the eighth day to circumcise him. That'd be a good song. Good hymn. Yeah, gloom, despair, agony. Did y'all ever see it last year? This year, a few months ago, San Francisco wanted to ban circumcision. The whole said no doctor was going to be able to be allowed to do circumcision, but it didn't go very far. And I have a few other words of what they always are. Yeah. It's a shame. The beautiful places are always infested. And okay. Okay, let's talk about our prayers. Need to continue to be in prayer for Thomas. Let's see. Gloria Pace, she's one of our, she listens to every class, even the 1 o'clock class on Sunday, and she is going in for a major right shoulder operation Friday. So please be in prayer for Gloria Pace and for the doctors, and that everything will be okay as far as the surgery is concerned. And she's just a wonderful supporter and encouragement to the ministry, to the teaching. So please be in prayer for Gloria. Please be in prayer for John Haig in Tucson. And he's just hanging in there. Every day that he goes in for the therapy, he comes home worn out, but he is able to go back. So please be in prayer for John Haig in Tucson. And Gloria Pace, she lives in Colorado, and Thomas here amongst us. And so any other, and we need to be in prayer for the friend of the church. He's not doing very well. Yes. Be in prayer for Cameron. He'll be traveling on New Year's Day. Wow. New Year's Eve. And New Year's Day, boy, that's a dangerous time to be on the road. So we definitely need to be in prayer for the driver. Absolutely, in the vehicle. So please remember that in prayer. He's coming in from Florida, and about how long will it take him? About 19 hours? Okay. Wow. Okay, let's be in prayer. Yes, ma'am. Whoop. Do what now? I'm sorry. Okay. Yes. Okay. Continue to be in prayer. That right there, if we didn't have any other story with our young people, that to me is, it's worth it. Man, that is so powerful. Yeah, yeah. That is so good. Let's continue to be in prayer. And any other requests? Well, I hope you all had a very nice Christmas and enjoyed the day. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to orient ourselves, say for test ourselves, say for trusting in His Spirit, who is the true teacher. And I've been working on the New Year's Eve challenge, and it's just, I've really enjoyed the, my problem is I could take some verses that are just, okay, I got it, but by the time I start working on it, okay, maybe we'll finish in February or March, and I don't want to do that. I want to finish it New Year's Eve, so because I want to get back to our study and momentum on Sunday morning, and the chronology of the birth of Christ, and get back to Romans, and so I just hope the Holy Spirit's in line with what I want, and unfortunately, that's the way we are often. Yes, I. Saturday evening, New Year's Eve, starting at 7 o'clock, go to a little bit after 9, and we'll have a little fellowship break in there, finger food and things, and then we'll take communion. Yes. I've said it for 3 Sundays. Oh, okay. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, there's just so much in this book to grasp, to comprehend, to know, to understand. And Father, we just rejoice that heaven's going to be that. Heaven's going to be assembling ourselves, your teaching, as per Isaiah. This is what we're going to be doing in eternity. And just seeing all the things that we missed, even as intricately as we've gone in the Gospel of John and Galatians and 1 Corinthians now and Romans, we know we're missing so much. And to hear our Savior teacher teach us these things and open our eyes to even more phenomenal things, Father. But right now, Father, we pray that you'll open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see that we need as an assembly, as individuals in this assembly, those that listen on the internet or wherever they might listen, that you will reveal those enough things that in this passage, in these passages that we look at, that will be pertinent to our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we're in the midst of studying the Lord's Prayer, Gospel of John 17, and we have moved to a very important word in verse 17, and he petitions the Heavenly Father, sanctify them, the disciples whom he's been talking about, in the truth. Thy word is truth. Now, so here we have sanctification. In our study in 1 Corinthians on Sunday morning, we have sanctification twice in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. And we've noted that it's all over, all through the Bible. People, it should be very important to you that you're sanctified. And there's no doubting of salvation if you understand sanctification. Then, He goes in verse 18, as thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And that's going to be powerful when we get just as. That's going to be really powerful. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, in order that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. And so we're taking a few minutes to look at a study of sanctification. Now, the first part we looked at was sanctification developed from the Old Testament. And we looked at a lot of different concepts. Now, Roman numeral 2, we're looking at sanctification from the New Testament, primarily from the New Testament. And we have moved down to point 3. Point 1, we looked at etymology, or different words translated for sanctification: holy, saint, holiness, sanctification, consecrate, sanctify. These are all the same Greek word. Point 2, three categories of sanctification are talked about in the Word. There is salvation sanctification, or positional sanctification. We are positionally set apart from all other members of the human race in Christ, and then we took up a number of passages. Then, there's our life on earth. Experiential, for lack of a better word. You could call it life, experiential, whatever you like. Experiential sanctification is being set apart in your life, and that's pertinent to our study in John 17. Then we have ultimate sanctification, or eternal sanctification, set apart to God for all eternity. Now tonight we move to point 3. And point 3, the agent of sanctification. The agent of sanctification. Now I used to teach that all four agents of sanctification were members of the Godhead: God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But after close examination of Scripture, there's really only one declared agent. And I want to say this to you by way of introduction, that I think there are a lot of people, I hope there are, who understand they're sanctified. They really don't care who sanctified them, how it happened, or anything. They just know they're set apart to God. And people, I'm happy with that. But there are so many passages, like, for an example, New Year's Eve. Understanding. Understanding what God is doing is crucial to our life. And I'll talk about that. So this is why we're going to spend a few moments on this. Now, this is going to take some observation. So, right off, let's start off in 1 Corinthians 1:2. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1:2 to find out the agent of sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Set apart in Him. Holy in Him. Consecrated in Him. Nowhere are we said to be sanctified by Jesus Christ. We're sanctified in Christ. There are two pertinent passages on the agency and manner of our sanctification. Let's begin by looking at Romans 15. Romans 15. And we're going to look at verse 16. Romans 15, verse 16. Now, the sentence actually starts in verse 15. But I have written boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again. Because, and here we have the point of repetition. And people, it just cannot be overstressed how often you need to hear. I often felt if I were a teacher in school, regular school, There's just no way any student would fail my class. There's just no way. I would just repeat. I mean, if a student just did not want to learn, then obviously it'd fail. But I would just repeat and repeat and repeat. When I go to the youth camp, I just have them say it back to me. And I do that because I want them. That doesn't mean that they're concentrating any more than if they're just sitting there, but at least they have to say it back to me. So I know that it's in their lips, in their mind, to be able to repeat it. And repetition is so vital to so many truths. So, and that's not even a verse, let me move on. But I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, that my offering of the Gentiles might become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, I just showed you in 1 Corinthians 1:2, the reason I did that, I just wanted to point out the English preposition in 1 Corinthians 1:2, sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now you can see by the preposition, the English preposition in Romans 15:16, by the Holy Spirit. The divine agent of our sanctification, as we're going to see and are seeing here, is the Holy Spirit. But the question arises, what is the means of our being sanctified by the Holy Spirit? What is the means? That's point four. The means of sanctification, our faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ. And for this one, let's look at Acts 26. Acts 26. Just amazing how often sanctification is all through the Old and New Testament. It should be vital to us. There should be no place for stress, anxiety, and depression if we fully grasp, I'm set apart to God. What am I getting depressed, anxious, worried, stressed out about these things related to the earth? If I have, I enjoy. If I don't have, okay. Just as amazing how often this whole concept of sanctification occurs throughout the Bible. All right, Acts 26, verse 18. Acts 26, 18. To open their eyes. Satan seeks to blind our eyes. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. And people, this is repentance. Repentance is changing your mind. So, repentance, changing your mind. From darkness to light, and from the dominion of Satan to, and the verb is understood, repeated, to the dominion of God. And we have studied how the history of man is the history of the tale of two kingdoms. Not the tale of two cities, the tale of two kingdoms. Kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Okay. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to the dominion of God, in order that, now here's even a further objective, they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those, all of us are together on this, who have been sanctified by faith in me. By faith in Jesus Christ. So the means of the sanctification is faith. So we have the agent of sanctification in Romans 15:16, by the Holy Spirit. The means of sanctification, our faith, Acts 26:18. We're saved by grace through faith. were sanctified by grace through faith. We're sanctified by the Holy Spirit through faith. So the agent of our sanctification is God the Holy Spirit. The means of our sanctification by faith alone. Not by anything we do. Not by being moral or religious or something that kind of sets us apart physically from the world, but by faith. Now what I love, just in case you have your wonderings about it, both of these, the agency of the Holy Spirit and the means of faith, occur in one verse, just to be sure we get it. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Just so powerful, the way these things are put together, if we just let the Holy Spirit take us through the Scriptures. But we've been in Romans, 1 Corinthians, Acts, now 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we should always give thanks to God for you. People, let me just stop. I hope your 2012 is characterized by thanksgiving. We're going to see this New Year's Eve night in an unbelievable place. Just, I can't believe it's just there. But the importance of giving thanks. And if you're constantly giving thanks, you can't constantly be complaining. It's very difficult to have a mental attitude of thanksgiving and complaining about everything. Well, God didn't do this, and God isn't doing that, and they're not doing this, and she's not doing that, he's not doing it, they're not doing this, they're da 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 da. And then sit down and close your eyes, bow your head, and say, Father, thank you. I don't think so. Not with an attitude of complaining. But if your attitude is one of constantly giving thanks, the complaining and the eyes of what you don't have just drift into the shadows. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, believers, beloved by the Lord. And people got to remember that about each other. We're all beloved by the Lord. Believers you don't like, they're beloved by the Lord. Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Holy Spirit and faith in truth. Truth is Jesus Christ. So here we have them both, right here together. The agent is the Holy Spirit. The means is faith. Any question? Okay, point five. Since the Holy Spirit is the agent of sanctification, where does Jesus Christ fit? First, Scripture does not say we're sanctified by Jesus Christ. It says we are sanctified in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Emphasis here, our position. That's why we call this first sanctification earlier, positional sanctification. Our position set apart in Christ. Cannot be lost. That's why in 1 Corinthians 1:30, very important phrase, God, you put in Christ. So, we're in Christ. That's our sanctification. It's very powerful. Can't be lost. The emphasis there is on our position. Now, no matter how imperfect we may be, experientially, positionally, we are in Christ. Okay, first of all then, we are sanctified. We're not sanctified by Christ, sanctified in Christ. Secondly, we are sanctified through Christ. I'll explain that. We're sanctified through Christ. Let's look at Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:10. This word is in every one of the writings of the New Testament. It's just so powerful. And so important. Hebrews 10:10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Okay, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. This is a Greek preposition, dia, D-I-A, plus the genitive of means. The genitive of means. The death of Jesus Christ, the spiritual death of Jesus Christ, is the means of our being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us because of the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, session of Jesus Christ. He couldn't just do it without having that. So the means of His being able to do it is dependent upon the work of Christ on the cross. So our passage says, through the having we have been sanctified, the point of faith in Christ, through or by means of the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all people. Now, how important this verse is. Let's note a couple of things. One, ultimate source of our permanent sanctification by the will of God the Father. By the will of God the Father. Note what it says. By His will. So the ultimate source of our permanent sanctification is the will of God the Father. Where does God the Father fit into all of this? People, it's His whole will. It's His whole plan. And then secondly, the instrument of sanctification, the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. All right, point six. The permanency of our positional sanctification. We have been sanctified. It's in the perfect tense. It lasts forever. Combine this with verse 14 of the Hebrews passage. For one by one offering, look at it now because it's our word. For by one offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Perfected for all time means it's over, it's done, it's complete. Tetelestai, it's done. The book of Hebrews. People, this is our second hour on sanctification. On Wednesday night, we could spend months just going through Corinthians, Hebrews, all these books and put it all together. I'm just trying to pull out these major points for you. For by one offering, He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Perfected those. That means made complete, made sanctified. Those who are sanctified. So ends the loss of salvation. Sanctification is by the instrumentality of the body of Jesus Christ, by the agency of the Holy Spirit, by faith in Jesus Christ, by the will of God, Hebrews 10:10. We are sanctified, set apart, in the word of truth. Let's take a look. John 17:17, sanctify them in truth, thy word is truth. Okay, let's find out what all of this is about. First of all, let's start understanding that by looking at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, the preposition in plus the locative, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. All of these in Christ, but they're all concepts of our salvation. Washed of our sins. sanctified, pulled out of the human race, set apart, holy in Christ, justified by the imputation of righteousness in the name of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our prayers are in His name, and God answers our prayers in His name. So it says, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the last phrase, and in the Spirit of our God. Now what's interesting is this time we have the preposition in plus the instrumental, by means of the Holy Spirit. And of course our part is faith in Jesus Christ, Acts 26:18. So there's just so many verses that just put together who and what we are. We can't lose our salvation. That's so important. And when we understand this and are confident in it, we have inner peace regardless of what's going on in our lives. I can't lose this. Whether it's economic, health, family situation, death of someone, or even our own death of someone we love, or whatever it may be, hey, we're set apart into Christ. Take Christ out of it and we're not set apart. It's amazing the movement today to take Christ out of the equation. And I'm talking about in what we call Christian churches. It's God loves everybody and everybody's going to make it. Forget that Christ came and died on a cross. Forget that we're sanctified in Him. So these things are so important. Okay, who sanctified us? The Holy Spirit. On what basis did He sanctify us? The work of Jesus Christ on the cross. By what did He sanctify us? By the work of Christ. By whose authority did He sanctify us? By the authority of God the Father. And what was our part? Simple faith. Non-meritorious faith. We'll see this. We come to our back to the John 17:17. All right, this takes us to point 7. Let's look at some of the mechanics of sanctification. 1 Corinthians 15:51-57. You can read that. 1 Corinthians 15:51-17. Positionally, or at our salvation by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Experientially, grace recovery, faith in the Holy Spirit, walk in the light. Again, it's by the Holy Spirit. Experiential sanctification is by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:8-10. And then ultimate or eternal, it's in threefold. A, the body. Blameless. Resurrected body, blameless. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Philippians 3:21. 1 John 3:1-2. The soul. Blameless. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Hebrews 10:39, and these are by result of being sanctified. C, spirit, body, soul, spirit, blameless. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, 1 Corinthians 1:8. Now under point 8, I don't want to get lost and spend hours, so I'm just going to name this and then we're going to go on. There are two pertinent doctrines related to sanctification. Two pertinent doctrines. One, the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's note some things about this. One, does not occur in the Old Testament. Two, prophesied by Jesus Christ. John 14:20. Three, basis of unification of all believers. How we're unified. Ephesians 4:5. Four, because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, no racial, social, our sexual distinction in Christ. Galatians 3, 26 through 28. Five, baptism of the Holy Spirit is the basis for victory over sin. It's the basis of victory over sin in the Holy Spirit. Romans 6, 3 and 4. We haven't looked at too many of the passages, but I would like you to look at the Romans 6 for a moment. Romans 6, 3 and 4. And well, we could spend forever for a couple of months just on this, but let's just note a few things. Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus and have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. 6. Baptism of the Holy Spirit began in the church age. Acts 1:5. Acts 11:15. 7. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is the means of sanctification. Ephesians 1:3-6. Sanctification is the means. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a means of sanctification, Ephesians 1:3-6. And finally, it is not experiential. There are no feelings or emotions related to it. We know it's true. We believe it. So that's one doctrine that's related to sanctification by the Holy Spirit. Another one that would, if we wanted to spend the full time on this, the whole understanding of our position in Christ, which we spend some time on in the Sunday morning, 1 Corinthians 1:30, because there it specifically Paul says, by God you are in Christ Jesus. And we took up the significance of that. But being in Christ Jesus is not experiential or emotional either. Just like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being in Christ. Being in Christ is not progressive. It is not improved. You don't improve your position in Christ because you live a certain life, you learn a lot of doctrine, you do this, you do that. It's permanent and full at its beginning. Being in Christ is not related to human merit or performance. It has nothing to do with human merit. Every born-again believer, everyone who has believed in Christ, is positioned in Christ. For it is eternal in nature. Can't lose it. Come across believers who come upon some really bad times of sin or failure or just whatever it may be. This is what you want to assure them with. Hey, you're in. When you believe in Jesus Christ, 34 things happen. But let me just talk to you about this one, sanctification. You were baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. You are positioned in Christ. And show them 1 Corinthians 1:30. It's eternal in nature. 5, it is known only by revelation of the Word of God. It is known, as is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by the way, only by revelation of the Word of God, and this by means of the Holy Spirit. And 6, it is obtained by grace at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. It is obtained by grace the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, this brings us to point 9. Point 9. Let's take a look at the 4 pertinent passages that we have began this whole study with now. When we started up, I gave you the 4 times in our immediate studies, John and 1 Corinthians. And we looked at them. So let's take a look now and see if we can just simply grasp what's going on in them without great explanation. First, 1 Corinthians 1:2. This was the first place that we talked about 2 weeks ago when we began our journey. The reason we were spending so much time, it occurs 4 times in just 2 of our current studies. I can't deny this. I can't just walk away from the importance of that. So 1 Corinthians 1. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 1, 2 with me again, please. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. One of the first things Paul says to this group of believers, to the assembly of God, which is not of Caesar, not of some of the gods or goddesses, but of the true God at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Okay. This one's rather simple. This refers to those unbelievers who at the point they believed in Jesus Christ and at the point of faith in Christ, they were baptized into Christ, they were sanctified in Christ. The Holy Spirit identified them with Christ, sanctified them in Christ Jesus, set them apart from the world in the permanent position in Christ. That's first. That one's easy. Let's go to the second one. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But by His doing, now remember, I like the Greek here, but by Him, you. There is no verb here. But by Him, you. Contrasting Him, you. Or in Christ Jesus. And we spend our time, beautiful time, on that very important concept. You don't like anything about you, you just sit down and remember, you're in Christ. You don't like the way you look, you don't like where you live, you don't like what you drive, you don't like what you got for Christmas, you don't like this, you don't like that, you don't like whatever. Just sit down and think, I'm in Christ Jesus. Doesn't get better than that, people. All right, you are in Christ, we are in Christ Jesus. Who? Jesus Christ. Became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But we're looking at sanctification. Okay, the point Paul is making here is that God the Father sent Jesus Christ to be our wisdom to salvation, to be our source of righteousness for justification. And in Him we are sanctified. It's the best way I know how to do this for clarity, simplicity. We'll go into a little more detail on the Sunday morning study. But this verse, Christ Jesus who became to us sanctification. If there is no Christ Jesus, there is no sanctification. But because there is a Christ Jesus, we are sanctified in Him, and He came to us that sanctification. He became to us sanctification. We are sanctified, set apart in Him. Not in a nation of Israel, not in a race of the Jews, not in some denomination in the church age or some movement, but in Him personally. Okay? Let's go to the third one. John 17:17. Now we'll roll back to our study. Kind of cool how we did this. All right. I thought it was. All right, John 17:17. In the Lord's Prayer, he asked God the Father, sanctify them in truth. Okay, let's understand one thing. First of all, they're already saved. They're already saved. This isn't referring to salvation. Let's put it in context. Look at verse 15. Keep them from the evil one. Verse 17, sanctify them, set them apart from all others on earth. Now, here's what's happening. This is very important in dealing with the change in history. What's going on? Some people will use the word dispensations. But what is happening here? They are already saved. But the Holy Spirit has not been given. So, let's say here's the cross. And Jesus Christ is praying right here. Just hours before the cross. Then the cross occurs. then the burial. We don't know where he was crucified, where he was buried. He rose from the grave. Now, spent 40 days, then went to heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. Then 10 days after, seated at the right hand of the Father, his prayer is answered. They are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. They are sanctified by the Holy Spirit as part of the church. They were part of the age of Israel. Now they are part of the church. They belong to a unique fraternity. I think one of the most unique fraternities, and I wouldn't advise anyone to try to play it this way, but I think one of the most unique fraternities is going to be those who are unbelievers in the church age, believe in Jesus Christ during the tribulation, and go into the millennium. Now that's got to be cool. That's got to be really cool. But I wouldn't advise anybody to take that chance that you're going to make it through all of that. So go ahead and believe in Jesus Christ right now and go up in the rapture and be with the Lord forever in that sense. But this is also an interesting group. Those who are born again believers in the age of Israel and then go into the church age. They always felt for Lazarus. He didn't get to, well, he may have, but we suspect he didn't. But we don't know when he finally died. We don't know if he died after the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ, and the sending of the Holy Spirit universally, or did he die shortly before all of this took place. But since he was right there going into Jerusalem, I suspect he may have gone into the church age a little bit. But be it as it may, this is going to be an interesting group. So this is when this occurred. So Jesus Christ, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Keep them from the evil one by setting them apart to the word. To the word. These disciples are protected from Satan, from evil, by the word experientially and positionally in Christ. It's a very rich prayer by Jesus Christ. Some people still want to make it just one of them. I think it's all of it. Because these things have not occurred yet. And they're being set apart. And Christ knows they're going to have to be. This is going to get very tough on them as they go into ministry without Him around. We are set apart experientially in this world in the truth of His Word. All right, now let's look at the fourth one. The fourth one. John 17:18. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. What in the world does this mean? To what does it refer? I say 17:18. Sanctify 19. Verse 19, no? Verse 19. Now, what does it mean? What's he referring to? Okay. Let's start off by looking in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. I always know when Steve's listening when he's not. I make a mistake. Hey, that isn't what mine says. What are you doing? Wait a minute. I love that. Now, if I ever slip one by him, I'm going to go back and wake him up after church. Say, you didn't catch me on that. All right, Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38, verse 23. This is powerful. Jesus Christ speaking, pre-incarnate. And I shall magnify myself, sanctify myself, and make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. All right, he shall sanctify himself. That is, set himself apart from all men or angels, from all the so-called gods of the heathenistic world. People, we don't have very many idols, true idols, in an idolatry sense. We have money, we have the world, we have the physical body, we have all these things. But you got to understand that around the world there are multitude of idols. There are idols that are worshipped all over the world. Haiti is filled with them. India is filled with them. We met a guy in Israel. The death of a guru, something like that. And we met the guy, and he's so well known. I've never heard of him, but boy, there were people there. Oh, you're so and so. You wrote this book and all this. I had met the person he was traveling with and talked to them, and then later he had wanted to sit down and talk with me, and it just worked out where we got to. And he told me, he said, Herman, I've worshipped hundreds of idols. He said, I'm a relatively intelligent person. I worshipped a monkey. I actually worshipped a monkey as God. I worshipped cows as God. There are thousands of gods in India. In India alone. So there are a lot of idols all over the world. Okay, I shall. And you take for an example the whole Muslim faith, which is all over the world. Allah is an idol. He's not real. He's an idol. Idolatry. And I don't know what the state of the Islamic will be at this time in history, the Second Advent. But boy, they're just going to boom, have their eyes open. Hey, Allah is not the one in control here. Something greater than Allah. See? Okay. He shall magnify himself. He shall set himself apart from all men, all angels, and all so-called gods. There is none like him, and there will be no doubt as to his authority, his omnipotence in the world. He shall make himself known. And then all will know that he is Lord. So this is what he's going to do. So this is what it means. I sanctify myself. We know that God the Father sent the Son. But the Son said, yes, I will go. I sanctify myself, put myself apart to fulfill God's plan for my life. That's what we ought to do if we understand experiential sanctification. I am not here for me. I am here for him. And that's what Christ means. I have sanctified myself. His human viewpoint was, I sanctify myself to the will of God. All right, look back now, John 17, 18, 19. 17:19. He asked God in verse 17 to sanctify them in truth. In verse 19, as you sent me into the world, or verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I send them into the world. And he went into the world to do God's will, so now he sends them into the world to continue God's will of opening the kingdom to everyone. Verse 19, for their sakes I sanctify myself. Set myself apart for the plan of God in order that they themselves may be sanctified in truth. People, if he doesn't do it, we're not sanctified. I hope this is making sense. If he doesn't sanctify himself to do the will of God, die on the cross, buried, and rise again, there's no sanctification for us. So that's what he means here, that in order that I sanctify myself for this mission, set myself apart for this mission, in order that they themselves may be sanctified in truth. Jesus Christ, as the high priest, set himself solely for this mission. It was not about him. It was not about his desire, and that is expressed for us in the words, let this cup pass from me. If this can happen, let this cup pass, but it's not my will. It's not what I want. It's what you want. And when we grasp sanctification for ourselves, Father, this is what you want for me. So, that's going to be it. Because I have sanctified myself, set myself apart to do your will. Just in coming off of our reading of the chronology of Jesus Christ, we're studying a young man and a young woman. Out of their control, they have to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem, some 80 miles, and she is very close to giving birth. Out of their control. They have no control over this. But they have set themselves apart to do what God has them to do. They know that the child that she is carrying is supernatural, is the Son of God. Joseph knows this. Mary knows this. They've set themselves apart to that. They have said yes to the plan of God. They have said yes to this birth. So it's going to be up to God. I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to take care of us on this trip, going from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. What if we have the baby along the way? Then that's what you wanted. And so this is being sanctified. And the reason we can do that is because Christ sanctified himself in order that they may be sanctified. Their sanctification has to do with proclaiming Jesus Christ to the world. See? He was sent, his sanctification is to set it up where they can be sanctified, where we can be sanctified in Christ, where we can be sanctified in God. So, let's note a summary then. Verse 17, sanctify them in truth. Sanctify them in truth. We have the experiential sanctification. We have positional sanctification occurring when the Holy Spirit comes. I sanctify myself, set myself apart into the world as priest, as servant, holy, set apart for God's purpose. And that's what you and I are, people. May not look holy, may not always act holy, but we're holy. We're set apart for God's purpose. That they may be sanctified in truth, be set apart from the world of lies, of unreality. Let's close this part of our study with 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, other believers, brethren. We're related to each other in Christ. We love by the Lord. Every believer is loved by the Lord. Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. What's the truth here? The gospel. For both unbeliever and believer, by the way. For both positional sanctification and experiential. It's by faith. Verse 14, and it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. People, that's just a phenomenal concept, that we can gain the glory. It belongs to Jesus Christ. We're sanctified in him. We share his sanctification. We can also share, and we will also share, his glory. All right. Any questions? I went through this quickly. Any questions? Yes.
17:17. Jesus Christ is praying to sanctify the disciples.
Yes. Positionally. All right. I think he's talking about both positionally and experientially, which will occur at the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Experientially would be through their faith.
Yes. Yes. I understand. Go ahead.
But praying for somebody to be sanctified experientially that's like praying for somebody to be saved.
Okay, here's the difference. The Holy Spirit hadn't come yet.
Okay. So once
he's sanctified positionally. Yeah, and experientially now, they can be now by the Holy Spirit. Because he will be there, but he is not there yet, but he will be there. The Holy Spirit.
Is
right here. Yes. Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what I see happening. Now, I'll just let y'all know, some people think it refers just to the experiential when the Holy Spirit comes. And even though I don't think I read anybody, but some may think it's just the experiential. But I think they're already saved. But just as we saw, this sanctification that we're studying here is just in the church age. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, being sanctified in Christ, can only be in the church age. So it has not occurred yet. So that's why he can say, do this. They are sanctified. They are set apart to God in the nation of Israel. Okay, any other questions? There are passages like this that it's just kind of fun for me to read through some of the deal of some of the scholars' commentaries, and they just use that Passover rule. I'm just going to pass over this passage, and they don't really deal with the what's going on specifically. And so this is what I see happening, and I think it occurs to both positionally, because the Holy Spirit had not come yet, and experientially, because he has not come yet, it can even occur experientially for them. And that's what he's praying for them and for us. Yes? 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 Yes, that's right. But we can also have experiential sanctification where, as we're living each day, we walk in the Holy Spirit, we're positioned in Christ experientially. We can lose that by going into the flesh and sin. We can lose experiential sanctification. We cannot lose our positional sanctification or our eternal sanctification in Christ. Cannot lose that. But we are to be sanctified as we live each day and fulfill our purpose of our sanctification. That's why he prays for them. They will be sanctified. That way they can be protected from evil and the evil one and the lies, and continue to live and fulfill their purpose, their destiny. Do what now, hon? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anytime we sin, anytime we decide to take over, I don't care if we're just driving down the road and somebody cuts in front of us and we decide to take over, we forget who we are. We forget who we are. That's the brass terms of it. I think God, like I it's more about Scripture, he's more concerned. He's not concerned about the sin. Let's say I have a mental attitude of anger at this person that's cut in front of me and all. He's not concerned about the sin. His son is born that on a cross. I think what Christ is concerned about is, why did you stop trusting me? Didn't you think I could handle even somebody cutting in front of you? Yes. Well, you have your eternal sanctification. No. No. What did he say? Not if you're dead. Yeah. Yeah. Experiential sanctification has only to do with our life on earth. It's like breathing and living in this body. Yeah, you come under the being in Christ. The Roman Church doesn't believe that. They don't believe that. That's why they've come up with the last rites and purgatory and all these kind of things. And a lot of people, I've had a lot of discussion, and I mean a lot since 91, with a lot of people who believe that if you don't confess sins, you're not forgiven of sins. You are not forgiven. You are not forgiven. And if you believe that, then you better believe in purgatory, last rites, and the whole world. At least they are consistent. They are consistent. But if I come into it, all sins are forgiven. They only are an issue experientially. They're not an issue, my relationship with Him. That's why I said, I don't think God's concerned about our sin. What concerns, if I want to use that word in quotes, what concerns God is, why'd you start trusting me? Why'd you take matters into your own hand? Why did you fall apart? Why did you go into anger? All these types of things. Why did you steal? Whatever it may be. Why didn't you trust me? The sins are taken care of. Why did you not trust me? So come on home. I'm not sure. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this is one of them or not. I wouldn't doubt it. If it isn't, I'll tell them about it. Okay, let's close it. Any more questions? I love questions. Yes, I love questions. Okay. We start out with a body, soul, and spirit. Body, the soul, communication with God, with one another, and the spirit, fellowship with God. We're trichotomous. When we sin, we become dichotomous. We lose the spirit. When we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, we become trichotomous. We are born again, born from above, with a human spirit. So now we have a body. Of course, we have a body, but that didn't talk about this body. It's talking about a resurrected body. But we have a body, we have a soul, we have a human spirit. When an unbeliever dies, he does not have a human spirit. He just has a soul. And the body is blameless, the resurrected body. The soul is blameless in the resurrected body by the work of Christ. And the spirit, of course, remains blameless at all times anyway. When we sin, it's in the soul. Okay? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for just the things it's going to take of our mind to let your spirit open these things up to us and cause us to see and to understand why you give us this information. It's here for a reason. And we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, by faith, because of the work of Christ on the cross. These things are in their word for us to understand. For us to put together and draw the right conclusions about ourselves. So, Father, I pray you'll take the things we've seen tonight, have them become a reality in our soul, and then in our lives. That we will see ourselves as sanctified, set apart in Satan's world. Turmoil at work and in life and dealing with people, even family members, other believers, and just all these things, Father, we just have to keep it in mind. We're set apart. We're sanctified in Christ. Not by anything we do, because of who and what Christ is. So, Father, I pray you'll take these things and become a reality to us. That like Christ said with his disciples, that they will be sanctified because he's sanctified. We're sanctified because he sanctified himself. To grasp what this means in our life, what it